inspired word of God tonight from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is the word of God. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that, as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten an art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, walk after other gods, serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Read God's word that far, and on the basis of that, many other passages of God's Word is the teaching of our Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50, which is the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, among the six petitions of the Lord's Prayer, this one is unique. What makes the fourth petition unique is that it's the only petition that directly addresses our earthly material needs. All of the other petitions have to do with spiritual needs. First three petitions, the ones that we relate more particularly to God, are petitions concerning God's name, His kingdom, and His will, spiritual things. And then even in the second group of petitions where we pray more directly with respect to our own needs, there's only one of those petitions that has to do with earthly things. We pray for forgiveness, we pray for deliverance from evil, which are spiritual things. It's only this fourth petition that is a prayer for earthly and physical things. It teaches us important truths about prayer. It reminds us that our prayers are not to be self-centered and self-focused, but ultimately to be God-focused. Focus, with a focus on spiritual things, reminds us that the petitions we make ought to be predominantly petitions for spiritual things. But it also teaches us that there is a right place to pray for earthly things and the daily needs that we have. It's not the case that we're to be so spiritual that earthly things are not at all to be a concern and they're not ever anything that we're to include in our prayers. Jesus teaches us to hear that it's right and necessary for us to pray with respect to our earthly needs. Even though those things might seem small and insignificant, there's nothing too trivial to bring to God in prayer. This petition is unique. It's also difficult. This is one of the most difficult of all the petitions for us to pray sincerely. There's difficulties we have with some of the other petitions. We mentioned that last time, the difficulty of praying, Thy will be done and not my own. It's difficult for us, but so also is it difficult for us to pray this petition sincerely. It's easy for us to trust in ourselves to supply our daily needs. It's easy for us because we have so much far and away in abundance, much more than what we need for just this day, truly to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So often that petition rolls off our tongues in a perfunctory way, in a way that means we're just saying the words when we really don't mean that. And what we learn here in this petition then is that daily we are to live in conscious dependence upon God for all of our needs, for the soul and for the body. We consider this petition tonight as applicatory to our partaking of the Lord's Supper this morning. And that's fitting. An applicatory sermon has as its purpose to apply the gospel of our salvation in Christ to our daily lives of thanksgiving. And the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us that prayer is the chief part of our thankfulness to God. It's fitting that with an applicatory sermon we consider prayer.
prayer,
which is the chief part of our thankfulness to God for our salvation. And then it's fitting as well that we consider this petition concerning our daily bread. This morning we partook of the bread of the Lord's Supper, which is a sign and a seal to us of the heavenly bread, the Lord Jesus Christ. Belonging to Christ, partaking of Him and all of the spiritual blessings in Him, we're confident that for Christ's sake, God will provide us with what we need, not only for our souls, but also for our bodies. With that in mind, I call your attention to this Lord's Day under the theme, "Give us this day our daily bread." First, let's consider the petition. Secondly, the trust. And thirdly, some of the implications that arise out of this petition. Jesus teaches us in the fourth petition to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus is teaching us to pray here with respect to earthly things. In the history of the church, there have been some who have interpreted this petition to be a petition for spiritual things. They interpret bread to be a reference to the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to spiritual meat and spiritual nourishment. So that this is a prayer then for a spiritual nourishment and strengthening. Hard to, as it were, come down hard on someone who takes that interpretation of this petition and the child of God who prays earnestly, "God, nourish me spiritually, strengthen me." That is something we must pray for, a right and a good petition. The trouble is that's not what Jesus means here. That's a good petition for us to make. But Jesus is not teaching that with this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. With this fourth petition, Jesus is teaching us to pray for literal, actual, physical bread, for earthly things. Lord's Day 50 takes that interpretation, that is, "Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body." We're praying for what we need for our bodies, for physical, material things. Jesus is teaching us to pray here for food and drink, for money and a job, for clothing and a home, for health and strength in our bodies. Jesus is teaching us to pray for what we need for the body. Not just whatever earthly thing we want or what might come to our mind, but He's teaching us to pray for our needs. Again, Lord's Day 50, in that same phrase, that is, "Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body." That comes out of the words of this fourth petition itself. Jesus says, this is what you're to pray for. Pray for your daily bread. Bread is not a luxury. Bread is a basic staple of earthly life, a basic necessity that we have. And bread here represents that. It does not represent luxuries. It represents necessity, that which is a basic staple for our earthly life and existence. We're to pray this petition with that in mind. We can't pray this petition if our hearts are set upon and sinfully coveting luxuries and the riches and the wealth of earthly life. Prayer arises out of a heart that looks to God for our earthly needs. We need for our earthly bodies, food and drink. Our prayer to God is not a prayer for the finest of earthly food and drink, for thick steaks every night and the finest of wines. We're praying here for bread. We're praying for the basic food and drink that will strengthen our bodies. We need clothing. We're praying to God here not for the latest and most expensive clothing. We're not praying here for closets that are jam-packed, filled with all kinds of clothes for all different occasions. We're praying that God would supply us the clothing to cover our bodies modestly and to keep us warm in the cold of winter. We need a home in which to live. We're not praying that God would give to us this enormous, expensive mansion. We're praying for a comfortable home in which we can live safely. We need money to supply the needs of our family. We're not praying here for millions and millions of dollars so that we're fabulously wealthy. Praying here for enough money to supply the needs of our family and to have something left over to give to the poor. We need a job. We're not praying for a multi-million dollar Fortune 500 business that we own. We're not praying here that we climb the social ladder so that we become more important and in a position of more power and authority in the workforce. Praying for a job at which we can work to the best of our ability and by means of which God will provide us with what we need. We're to pray for our daily bread. We ask God to supply us with our earthly needs. And then this too, Jesus is teaching us to pray for the needs of the body for this particular day. Not for the needs of tomorrow, though they may be legitimate needs. Not for the needs of next week and next month and years down the road. But for the needs we have for this particular day. Jesus says, pray this way. Give us this day our daily bread. And the word daily carries the idea of that which is enough. God, give to us what is enough for this particular day. That does not forbid, of course, careful Christian stewardship. Careful Christian stewardship of what God has given to us includes budgeting and the planning for the future, making careful use of what God has given to us. But as we do that, we do so not worrying, not with a sinful anxiety about the future, about tomorrow and next month and next year. We ask God, give us what we need for this day. And if, at the end of that day, it happens that we're entirely wiped out, there's no food left in the home and the bank account is wholly depleted, we lay our head down on our pillow at night in peace. And when God has heard and answered our prayer, He's given us for this day what it is that we stand in need of, and we wake up the next morning and we pray to God, God, today, give me enough. Give me this day my daily bread. Jesus teaches us to pray with respect to earthly things, for earthly needs, and our earthly needs for this particular day. This petition also is a prayer for God's blessing, that God would give us those things with His blessing. And it's at this point that our Reformed fathers make an important and a careful distinction between God's gifts and God's blessing. At the end of Lord's Day 50, it says, "And that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing." Not even God's gifts can profit us without God's blessing. There's a distinction between God's gifts and God's blessing. God's gifts refer to all of the good gifts, the good earthly things that God supplies. And those good gifts God gives not only to His people, but He also gives them to unbelievers. It includes the rain and the sunshine upon both the crop of the believing farmer and the unbelieving farmer. It includes food and drink and health and strength and clothing and a home and money and a job. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 says, "That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." God's gifts refer to those good earthly things that God supplies. God's blessing is distinct. God's blessing refers to the word of His favor. It speaks of God's grace and His favor to a person in the Lord Jesus Christ. God bestows His blessing only upon His elect in Jesus Christ. He does not bless the ungodly. Proverbs 3, verse 33 says, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but He blesseth the habitation of the just." That distinction between gifts and blessing played an important role in the founding of our Protestant Reformed churches in the 1920s. At that time, our forefathers were battling the error of common grace. One aspect of the teaching of common grace was that God gives these good gifts to believers and to unbelievers, and He does so with a certain favor. It's an expression of a certain common grace that God has and bestows upon all men, both believers and unbelievers. So that the proponents of common grace taught that when God gives rain and sunshine on the unbelieving farmer's field, and when He gives food and drink and money and a job, God is doing it as a blessing to the unbeliever with a certain grace and favor that He's showing to that unbeliever. Our forefathers rightly saw the error of that teaching and condemned that teaching as contrary to the Reformed confessions, in particular Lord's Day 50, which makes and maintains that distinction between gifts and blessing. God gives good gifts to the ungodly. God may give many good gifts to the ungodly. In fact, according to Psalm 73, it seems as if God gives more of earthly things to the ungodly. God gives wealth. God gives health and strength and food and drink and rain and sunshine. But God does not give it to the ungodly in His favor with His blessing. God sends it in His curse, setting the ungodly on that slippery slope that leads down into destruction. They do not profit, truly, spiritually profit the ungodly. God not only gives to us, His people, these good gifts, He gives them to us with His blessing, in His favor and grace and love for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Recall what we read out of Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. "That He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We need not just bread, but we need to receive that bread with God's blessing so that it truly, spiritually profits us. We're praying to God here, God, give us our daily bread. Give us what we need for the body and give it with Thy blessing. Cause it truly to profit us spiritually. Jesus teaches us daily to pray this petition in order to teach us that we are to depend upon and trust in God alone to provide us with what we need. We learn here that every day, both for the soul as well as for the body, we are wholly and completely dependent upon God. God is the giver of every good gift. Lord's Day 50 refers to Him as the fountain of all good. Every good gift has its source in God, who is the fountain of all good. God reminded the people of Israel of that here in Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8, the people of Israel have passed now through 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They're standing on the doorstep of the promised land. And before they cross the Jordan and go in, God, through Moses, gives them instruction for life in the promised land. Before they enter that land flowing with milk and honey, God reminds the people of Israel that He is the one who provides for them. Verse 7 and following, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines, and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which He hath given thee." And verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth." People of Israel, when you come into the land of promise and you partake of all the bounties that this land has to offer, do not forget God is the one who provides this. It's not the land itself that is providing for your needs. God is the fountain of all good, and God is the one who's providing you with what you need. As the Creator of all things, God owns all things. In the truest sense of the word, you and I own nothing. All belongs to God the Creator. And God alone is the wise distributor of those things. God, according to His sovereign and eternal counsel, has determined how those good earthly gifts will be distributed. How much daily bread and earthly things, possessions and money, God will give to each individual person. We are to remember that all of the things that we have come from God. God might provide them through various means, through the means of the farmer and his field, through the means of the grocery store, through the means of our hard work at the job which God has called us through means of the charity of the church and others of God's people. God may be pleased to use those other means, but ultimately, God is the one who opens His hand and provides us with our daily bread. God provides us with our needs as His people in His love for us in Jesus Christ. Psalm 37, verse 16 says, "A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." The child of God receives the little crumb of bread and the little drop of water from the hand of God because it comes to him in God's love for us in Christ, which is far better than the wealth untold that God gives to the ungodly in His wrath. And then Matthew 6, verse 30, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" If God provides for the sparrows and He provides for the flowers of the field, how much more will He provide for you who are His dear, precious children? God provides us with our needs for the sake of Jesus Christ. Having fallen into sin in Adam by nature, we are wholly undeserving of the good gifts of God in His creation. By nature, we're robbers of those things. We're those who misuse and wrongly appropriate those good earthly gifts. It's only for Christ's sake that we receive these things from the hand of God and with His blessing. By His suffering and His death, Christ has merited for us all that we need. He's merited for us all of our spiritual needs. But it's also for Christ's sake that we receive all of our physical and our earthly needs. God cares for our bodies. Too often as Christians we can have the viewpoint that the soul is everything and the body really is nothing. It's a carrying case for the soul for a while, but the body isn't important. That's not true and that's not biblical. Yes, the soul is important, but so are our bodies. God cares for our bodies. So much does God care for our bodies that He sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to take upon Himself a real human body so that in that body, having suffered and died on the cross, He would redeem us both in soul and in body. When the Lord Jesus returns, which is our ultimate hope, He comes to redeem us, not just in our soul, but also in our body, so that in soul and in body, we will live with God forever in glory. God cares for our bodies. And in His love for us in Christ, provides us with what we need with His blessing. Knowing this, knowing that God is the giver of every good gift, that God supplies our needs in His love for us in Christ, we are to live in daily trust and dependence upon God. One of the dangers for us with respect to earthly things is a sinful worry and anxiety about the future. Too easily, our minds race with anxious thoughts about the morrow. How am I going to provide food for my family tomorrow? How is there going to be enough money to put the kids through our good Christian schools in the years to come? How is there going to be enough money to keep the lights on and the heat on in the winter, in the months that are to come? We become anxious for all the needs of tomorrow. what Jesus teaches us in this fourth petition is that we are to live free of worry and anxiety about tomorrow's needs and live today in dependence upon God. That takes faith. That's trust and dependence upon God when we can't see how all the ends are going to meet tomorrow and in the future. It takes faith. Trust God for the needs of today without worrying about the food that will be on the table tomorrow. It takes faith to trust God for the needs of today and not look ahead to the mountain of school tuition in years to come. It takes faith to trust in God for the health and the strength that I need today without worrying about the health of me or my loved ones for tomorrow. Teaching us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is teaching us to trust and not be worried and sinfully anxious about tomorrow and tomorrow's needs. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Trust in the Lord for your needs for today. And then another great danger for us with respect to earthly things is that we forget about God and we trust in ourselves. How easily we trust in self for our daily breath. As the Catechism makes mention of, there is our care. We're tempted to trust in our care, our carefulness, our frugality, our careful budgeting and planning, our saving and our investing for the future. We're tempted, as the Catechism says, to trust in our industry, in our hard work ethic, in our grit, in our determination simply to succeed and to get what we need. We trust in ourselves, our care, our industry to provide our daily bread. And so quickly we forget about God. Easy that is in a society which by and large has such a high standard of living compared to all the rest of the world. For many, if not all of us, we have more in our possession today than what we need just for this day. There's food stocked up in the deep freeze and in the pantry. There's money that's there, whether a lot or a little, but money that's saved away in an account in the bank. Because we have so much, we so easily forget about God. We don't live moment by moment, day by day, in conscious, heartfelt dependence and trust in God to provide us with our needs. Not only when we're rich is that a temptation, but that can be a temptation as well when we are poor and we're lacking. And the temptation then as well is, can I trust in God to provide me with what we need, with what I need? And no, I'm going to trust in myself, in my own work, in my own care to provide. God warned the people of Israel against that great danger here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Verse 12. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and then follows all the other things that they might do and they might have, it concludes in verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this wealth. Teaching us to pray this petition, Jesus is teaching us to live in daily dependence upon God to provide. Catechism says, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. And at the end, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures, and place it alone in Thee. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your own carefulness and your own industry and hard work. Trust in the Lord. Look to Him. Acknowledge Him as the only fountain of all good. Trust in Him alone. Daily, moment by moment, provide your needs. From what the Lord teaches us in this petition, there are a number of implications that we could draw. I'm going to limit it to just two tonight. One of the implications of this fourth petition is that this prayer sincerely arises from contentment with what God has provided us. So we ask God to provide us with our needs. We do so in contentment with what God has provided. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. How can we truly pray, give us this day our daily bread, if our hearts are set on so much more than that? How can we pray, God, give me the needs, just enough for this day, when in my heart I'm longing for way beyond that? When sinfully I'm covetous and hankering after more money and more wealth and greater and better possessions? This prayer arises out of a heart of contentment, a heart that's satisfied with what God has provided. Heart that says what God has provided is exactly what I need, because God knows my needs far better than I do. It's a contentment that's grounded not in what we have. Contentment, true contentment, is not based on what we have, so that if we have what we want, then we're content, and if we don't, then we're not. Contentment isn't based on what we have. Contentment is grounded in the sovereign will of God for us. What is our greatest blessing? Forgiveness and salvation in Christ. Knowing God's will for us is always wise and good. Knowing we have the greatest of our needs met in salvation in Jesus Christ, we learn contentment with what God has provided us. Not only is contentment one of the implications that we can draw out of this petition, there is this implication as well, that God gives us these things and we're to use these things to the glory of God. This fourth petition stands beneath and subservient to the first petition. We made that point when we considered that petition. The first is first for a reason. Hallowed be Thy name. Let God be glorified. That is the consuming desire of our heart and soul. And all of the other petitions in one way or another fall under that and serve that primary desire of our hearts. This petition does as well. God, give to us our daily needs and teach us to submit humbly to Thy will for us. Give us the strength physically that we need to seek first Thy kingdom and its coming. And ultimately, that we use these earthly things and the strength that God provides to hallow His name and to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Even such seemingly mundane things as eating and drinking our daily bread must be done to the glory of God. God is glorified when we receive those things from His hand with thanksgiving. When we acknowledge that what we have today comes to us from the hand of our Heavenly Father who cares for us, God is glorified. God is glorified when praying this petition from the heart. We go off to work that day and we work hard at the calling which God has given to us, knowing that God is pleased to answer our prayer in the way of our hard work at the job which He has given. God is glorified in that work. God is glorified when using those earthly things, even rightly enjoying those earthly things, we press them all into the service of His kingdom and His glory with the strength that He provides to our bodies. We live the glory of our God. Beloved, glorify God with your daily bread. Glorify God with food and drink. Glorify God with your clothing and your home. Glorify God with your money and with your job. Glorify God with your health and your strength. Glorify God in both soul and body. Amen. Let us pray. Father who art in heaven, we look to Thee in complete trust and dependence for our daily needs. We have nothing, we own nothing. We have no power to get anything. We eat our daily bread as Thou dost open Thy hand wide to us. We're thankful, Father, as we look back on this day that Thou hast provided us with our daily needs. We thank Thee for that. We pray, Father, give us the grace of contentment with Thy will for us. Teach us all things to use these good earthly gifts, not to seek self, not as an end in themselves. Teach us, Father, to press these things into the service of Thy church and kingdom and Thy glory and honor. Father, forgive our sins. Forgive our sinful trust in self. Forgive our sinful covetousness. Forgive our sinful worry about the future. Strengthen our faith. Blot out those sins for Jesus' sake. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.